This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me personally be obedient to this message. And I pray, Lord God, that you also help me to communicate what you've been saying to me. Lord God, teach us this morning. And help us to move, Lord God, closer to your plan and closer to being more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. When you open to either your phone or your whatever you open these days, to Matthew 6. We're going to stay in Matthew 6 for a while, so turn to Matthew 6, please. Going to go to 19. These first couple of scriptures are in the newsletter. I'm going to move you around just a little bit. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. I can tell you that if you pray the prayer of David in Psalm 39, God will answer you. He did for me, probably every time I pray it. In Psalm 39, David called out to God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." It wasn't long after that prayer that I was reminded about an incident that happened to me when I was 17 years old. I was about ready to make a trip over to Australia to be an exchange student for a year. It was before Facebook, before Instagram and Twitter. It was before Snapchat. It was even before email and texting. So we relied solely on snail mail to communicate, and audio tapes we sent back and forth to. Phone calls weren't really even an option because back then it cost over a week's wage to make a phone call. So I didn't get to talk to my parents through that year, maybe a couple of times. But they had never been apart from me that long, and they wanted to make sure that I communicated with them, and they didn't want to lose touch. And we had never... I'm a little bit embarrassed about this, but it's just the way it was. My family was very insular, very naive, very ignorant of overseas. We'd never been out of the country. Anyway, they went and they bought me a year's worth of stamps. And they gave me lots of money to be able so that I would not fail to write to them. So the first week I was there, I wrote them a letter and I, you know, told them that I'd arrived safely. I let them know that what my host family was like and that everything was fine. And I put their stamps on the letter and sent it off. Next week, as ordered, you know, I knew it had to be a weekly at least. I wrote another letter to them and letting them know how everything was going. Put a stamp on it from them and sent it off. By the third week, my letter came back to me. And there was a note on the envelope. And it said, "These stamps are of no value in Australia, and they can't be used here. Will you please stop using these stamps?" Well, it was no real loss to me at that time because I just stuck them in my suitcase and I took them back when I got back and I sent letters back to my friends in Australia. But when I came to move here permanently, I left those stamps out of my suitcase, and I didn't bring any American currency with me. And why was that? I realized that those things would be worthless in the shops and businesses over here. And reminding me of this incident in my past, I knew right away what God was inferring. We can think we're doing the right thing. We can have everything all collected, but yet we are laying up treasures on earth that have no value in heaven, just like that scripture said. I thought, God, do I have wrong attitudes, wrong purposes? Am I wasting my time on pointless activities? And along with this knowing came feelings of aversion, and it was like a wake-up call to rid myself of it. It was a plea for myself, and I believe for you too. God wants us to stop wasting our time. I believe God is saying to us, take stock, not only of how we are living our lives, but with what motives. So what does Jesus mean by the word treasure? And what makes it valuable to him or distasteful to him? If we move earlier in the book of, in the chapter 6 of Matthew, and verse 1, these lead up to Jesus talking about treasures, and I think he's describing them here. Verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before the hypocrites do, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love praying standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenances, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Charitable deeds, praying, fasting, it's all things that God asks us to do. And yet, done in the wrong motives, it is distasteful to him. Galatians 6:8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So earthly currency is living for ourselves, as I see it, seeking our reward now, whether it is pride to be seen by men or whether it's feeding our fleshly desires in immediate gratification. And it can be very deceiving, for many times we are doing good and right things, thinking that we're pleasing God. In Jesus 7:21-23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I've always thought that's a pretty scary scripture. Well, this scripture came to mind when I was contemplating this, and I wonder whether, in part anyway, if those who would be rejected were spending their efforts collecting earthly currency. So heavenly currency, or treasure then, is putting ourselves and our needs and wants aside, denying ourselves and doing all to glorify God. And this is not natural, but very unnatural to our physical selves. And we've been told enough times that it will do us no good to try and live in the heavenly system on our own attempts and out of works of the flesh. So how do we begin storing up heavenly treasure. Don't we want to? Don't we want to please God in this? Let's go to further in Matthew 6 to Matthew 6:33. I think this is Jesus' answer to us. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Romans 14:17 describes the kingdom. It says the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We've got to make it all about God, not about ourselves. We should pray that prayer each day. Search me, O God, and show me anything in me that may offend you, and act on what he tells us. We are to draw near to God. A topic that's been stressed for many months in our Sunday messages has been to encourage us to draw near to God. Are you setting time aside each day to worship him, to spend time with him, and to listen? Are you asking him to help you be aware of him and his communion with you throughout the day? Because this is the first step in knowing his will, in hearing his voice, and in receiving and enabling the strength we need to fulfill his plans for us. Many, many years ago, God spoke to me and said he really wanted me to set a considerable amount of time aside for him in that season. And horror of horrors, he said early morning. That's really hard for me. I was a night owl, and I absolutely loved my bed in the morning. But I was obedient. He gave me the time of 5 o'clock, so my alarm was set, and I had quite a bit of time to spend with him. Before I had to go to work. And you know what? I'm still doing that to this day. And I'm not doing it for accolades from men, please. What I'm doing it for is that I can attest to you that if you do start setting time aside, it becomes a habit, doing it over and over again. And you know, it is such a glorious time for me, and I hope for him, to be able I wake up excited and think, get up, Pam, it's time to spend time with Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, all of you, if you're not doing that. Now, I know this is difficult for some. You mightn't have hours in the day, especially for young moms, young families, people that are very busy, I know. But seek the Lord and ask him, is there any time I can do regularly every day? I can remember when I was a mum of young kids, some days the only time I could get was in the little room out the back. And I'd just think, well, I haven't had any time, shut the door in the toilet, and Lord, I'm going to pray to you. And it wasn't for hours, I didn't stay in there for hours. But it seemed to be that time that I could have. So ask God and ask him to help you to find a time that you can draw close to him each day. And may I suggest that you ask God to flood you with the heart of King David and his cries. Can we turn to Psalm 63? Because I'd really like you to look at this with me. Oh, I do ask you, Lord, make this our heart. Oh, God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. There you go. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast, and I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. May that be a song that comes from each one of our hearts. Ask God to put it there for you. But you know, it's going to cost time and effort and focus. But the rewards are better than life itself. The rewards are eternal. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Cling to the vine. Be nourished by him. There is only... It's not just enough to abide in him. We must obey what we hear him saying to us when he speaks. We must be willing to make the hard choices. And sometimes that needs discernment, because it's not, maybe it will be a different choice on a different day. For instance, there might be something really good you want to watch on Netflix, but you know you haven't had your time with the Lord yet. Well, your choice may be turn off Netflix, go find a quiet spot, and get with the Lord. The next time that decision may come up, it may be that your son wants to, and you haven't had any time together for all week, and there's something healthy and good on Netflix that he really wants to watch with you. Well, God may be saying to you, spend time with your son. So it's not black and white. Be ready to seek him and know, and be ready to make those hard choices sometimes, but be obedient. Again, we can't do this on our own. Ask him to help us, even to be willing if we're not. Every fruitful event for God in our lives is a team effort. And there's only one way to accomplish making the hard choices, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and the love of God daily is an absolute necessity. For he will ask us to deny ourselves, wanting God's will more than our own, seeing others' needs above our own. If we allow him to break us and rid us of the rebellion in our flesh, then all the good that he's already put in there when he baptized us in the Holy Spirit, his fruit, will be free to pour out. I don't know about you, but I don't just want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have me. And that's my prayer. As I continue to ask God to search me, specifically now along the lines of exposing earthly treasure in my life, he and I have worked through together some aspects of pride and many of selfishness. And I know there's more, because I still don't see the fruit displayed in me that he wants. But he has been thorough and firm, yet compassionate towards me and full of grace. He's placed people beside me at times that can hold my hand while I kick and scream or confess to them my failings. You see, it's not a passive activity. We do have to put the effort in. Even if we hear him and he says, I'd like this to change. You can confess and admit it, but then you don't just sit back and go on with your life and expect God will change you at some time. Listen to what he says and work through it with him. He has also made me aware of the wiles of the enemy, the foxes, so to speak, that can endeavor to thwart our progress and turn our heavenly jewels to, I was going to use your word, Bruce, from last week. I might say garbage instead. These ways can rob us of our fruitfulness. The Song of Solomon 2:15 says, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. We don't want to lose our fruitfulness. They can also rob us of our faith. In Nehemiah 4:3, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. They can rob us of our faith, and it can be through other people too, speaking unfaith to us. They can rob us of our future, our inheritance. In Judges 15:4 and 5, Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grains of the Philistines and burnt up both the stalks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Foxes can take away our inheritance if we're not careful. They're so important to be aware of. I have listed here some examples of foxes that God has shown me. As I said before, our own desires, our own pride. Offenses that we hold on to against others, against God, and even against ourselves. And unforgiveness that can come with that. The world desensitizing us to violence and hardship. And you know, in seeing a lot of the hardship and the horrible things we see, we can lose empathy for others sometimes. And we think, oh, well, they're not going through that much. I mean, look what's happening over there. The world desensitizing us to sin. I think we've all seen this. What used to seem so bad, oh, it's maybe not that bad really, is it? Feelings of low self-esteem can provoke wrong attitudes toward people and situations. I'm sure you can make your own list. It's the things that distract us, that rob us of our faith, that get us looking inward. When we take our eyes off Jesus and look at the world, we can become overwhelmed with so much wrong. This brings discouragement. It's important for us to keep our eyes on Him. Last week, Bruce talked about our need for destiny. Can we set our faces like flint, as Jesus did on his way to the cross? Be determined and be willing to fight, to stay on track, and to not get distracted. Now, finally, I want to spend some time talking about the practical day-to-day treasure gathering that we can do. There are many here who may know that they know the mission God has placed before them, and that's a blessing. And keep on walking the walk worthy of that calling. But what if you are unsure? Perhaps I can give you some clues as to your purpose, and these thoughts have helped me. When God met Moses in the wilderness, and Moses was unsure of what he was to do, or if he was the one to do the job, what did the Lord say to him? Exodus 4, 1 and 2. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you?' So the Lord said to him, 'What is in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.'" God changed history through that stick. Moses considered it the rod of God in the end. But God called it Moses' rod. He said, "Take your rod." It was both. As I said before, every fruitful event for God in our lives is a team effort. The effort's on our part, not on God's. So I ask you, what's in your hand? Because God can use it. It will be natural and practical, even seem common to you perhaps. But remember, it's yours and God's. What's in your hand? I'd say a lot of you would have a phone, a computer, a tablet. Do you have a car? Your house? I'm sure you have your story. Do you have money or time? Do you have a collection of Christian books and music? There's so much. Look at ways in which God wants to use them. Because you know, if he puts his hand on them, it will be for more ways than just for you. Who do you associate with? Your small children or grandchildren, workmates, classmates, elderly parents, neighbors? Do you belong to a sports club? They're your mission field. What are you good at, have passion for? What comes naturally to you? Do you love to serve others? Are you passionate about prayer? Are you one of compassion and mercy toward others? Do you like teaching other people things you know? Are you an organizer? Do you like making music or art or dance? Are you a peacemaker? Hospitable? Do you love people and company? Do you like gardening, cooking, and baking? Are you technical, mechanical? Are you good at fixing things? You don't have to be super educated or have lots of money or run off to a foreign land. Though if you do, God will use that too. But God will use what you have to change the world. But you have to commit yourself and what he has placed in your hand solely to him. As with Moses and his rod, use it confidently so you can perform signs with it. Be bold and ready for God to use it further than you could imagine. Use it right and don't become familiar with it as Moses did with his rod. Listen to God. Ask each time before stepping out. Don't begrudge the routine things of life. See every activity as an opportunity to serve God with your whole heart. And one other thing, said what God uses will be natural and practical to you. But I didn't say it was going to always be easy. God loves taking us out of our comfort zone because that's how he stretches us. So we learn and grow and become even more productive for him so that we learn even more ways to yield that stick that he's put in our hand. There's a quote of John Kahn, which I like and is suitable here. It says, "You must give your earthly currency, what you possess in this world, to the purposes of heaven, to the kingdom, and you must do so without getting any earthly return. Give of your time, your energy, your wealth, and your love to the purposes of heaven." It'd be a good idea to start each day out dedicating yourself, the things you have, where you're going, the people you're going to see. Dedicate it to God. Go in the power and the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. We need the love of God and the Spirit of God working in us to give sacrificially. Because if we left it on our own, we wouldn't do it. And that's the only way that we'll bring value to the kingdom of God. God wants to save our families, our communities, and our world, and he wants to do it through us. Just in recap, and I'll ask you to put that up. Thanks, Karen. Just want to ask if you'll do some things with me. Oh, it's there, but it's not on the back. I'm going to turn around and read it. Let's ask forgiveness for using what he's given us for selfish desires. Let's dedicate ourselves, our possessions, our abilities, and each day to God for his use. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide and empower us, to teach us and help us remain in him, and warn us of any of those distractions and foxes that will set us off course. Go in confidence. Believing that what you have is from God. Actually, I skipped it, but I'm going to go back and read it. 1 Timothy 6. If it's going to do it for me. Why did I bring a digital Bible up here? I might have to get someone else to do it for me. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, and then verse 17. First person that's got it, stick your hand up and I'll come with you to you. So it's 1 Timothy 6, you've got it, June? 7 and then 17.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is that just the one?
17.
17 is, oh, it's up here, I can't see it quick. 15. 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
That's right. He is the one that gives all. We can't take any credit. But do you hear that last bit? They're for us to enjoy too. We're allowed to enjoy the things God has. We're just not allowed to keep them all to ourselves. Eh? The next one, because I want to encourage you, MCF, to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, that special endowment. Allow it to burn within you. Let that spark start a flame and get hungry to live for Him. So can we all read together the Matthew 6, if you could do the next. Can we read this together and then I'll close. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes it's as if you ask us a lot. And yet, Lord God, as we heard this morning in communion, what would we have if it weren't for you? We wouldn't have life. We wouldn't have eternity. We wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all you've given us. Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts and help us. Help me, help each one of us to live out the life that you want, storing up heavenly treasure, Lord God, that is pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray for those, especially like even at the beginning, to learn to spend that time with you. Lord, I pray that you give each of us strategies to be able to come to you so that we have time to hear your voice, so that we have time to consciously dedicate our time and our actions and our things to you each day. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.